Three little words switched off America's best AI model. Not a hack, not a leak, just a prompt. Fix this code. That's the phrase the US government decided was too dangerous to leave running. Welcome to AI in 15 for Saturday, June 20th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
Day 8 of the Fable shutdown, Marcus. And there's finally a glimmer. Anthropic says relief could be days away. That's our lead. Then a Nobel laureate just walked out of Google DeepMind, and she's not the only one. Norway is banning AI in elementary schools. Both Anthropic and OpenAI are heading for the public markets, and a wall of new frontier models that all somehow tied. Why a Nobel Prize winner is changing teams. Why Norway is telling six-year-olds no chatbots. And why five labs all landed at the top of the leaderboard at once. Lead story, Marcus. We've lived inside this shutdown all week. The export order, the 100 expert letter. What's new today, on day 8?
Two things, Kate. First, a possible exit. At the launch of Anthropic's new Seoul office on Thursday, their international managing director, Chris Chiari, said, and I'll quote, "We are very confident that in the coming days, the models will become available again." Negotiations between Anthropic and Trump officials are reportedly moving toward a deal to restore both Fable 5 and Mythos 5. So after 8 days dark, there's finally a runway.
And the second thing?
The reporting on how this actually started, and it's almost absurd, Kate. The trigger was a single prompt. Researchers at Amazon found that if you asked Fable to review the code for security issues, it refused, wouldn't touch it. But if you rephrased it to fix this code, it happily produced patches that, in doing so, surfaced exploitable vulnerabilities. Amazon escalated that to the White House, and by Friday night, Commerce Secretary Lutnick had sent Dario Amade a letter ordering the model suspended for every foreign national, anywhere.
So the same request, two phrasings, opposite answers. That's the whole national security incident?
That's the whole thing, Kate. And remember who flagged it. Amazon is one of Anthropic's largest investors. So an investor security team found a jailbreak, walked it up to the government, and the government pulled the plug globally. Anthropic disputes the severity hard. Their internal review found, in their words, a small number of previously known minor vulnerabilities. Their argument is blunt. A narrow potential jailbreak shouldn't trigger recalling a commercial model used by hundreds of millions of people.
And the security community is still in their corner. We covered the open letter earlier this week.
They are. And there's a sharper voice on it now, Kate. Katie Moussouris, she basically invented Microsoft's bug bounty program, founder of Luda Security, wrote an open letter making the technical case. Her point is that you can't even fix this flaw without crippling the model for the good guys. Defenders, she says, need to ask an AI to fix bugs in a file, explain why the fix matters, and write the tests. That is the job. Take that away, and you've disarmed the locksmith, not the burglar.
There's a political wrinkle there too, isn't there?
There is, and it's revealing, Kate. An unnamed administration source reportedly dismissed Moussouris as a radical Democrat, which tells you the messenger may have mattered as much as the message. And step back. This is genuinely a first. The U.S. government reached into a live commercial product and switched it off over a dual-use capability. Set whatever precedent you want about safety. The precedent it actually sets is that one email from a competitor who happens to be an investor can take America's best software offline worldwide. That should unsettle the people cheering today, because the phone call works in any direction.
So, even with relief coming, the principle stands.
The principle stands, Kate. Restoring the model doesn't unring that bell.
Quick hits. Marcus, this one made me sit up. John Jumper, a Nobel Prize winner, is leaving Google DeepMind for Anthropic.
This is a marquee move, Kate. Jumper shared the 2024 Nobel Prize in Chemistry with DeepMind's own CEO, Demis Hassabis, for AlphaFold, the system that predicted the structures of over 200 million proteins and genuinely reshaped biology. He's been at DeepMind nearly 9 years, and on Thursday, he announced he's leaving, after some time to recharge, to join Anthropic. He was gracious about it on X. Demis took a real chance letting me lead the AlphaFold team just 6 months after finishing my PhD. And Hassabis posted a warm farewell. What we achieved with AlphaFold changed the world.
A classy exit. But the timing? That's the story, right?
The timing is the story, Kate. Jumper's exit comes exactly 1 day after Noam Shazier announced he's leaving Google for OpenAI. Shazier co-led Gemini. He was VP of engineering, and he's the lead author of the 2017 Attention is All You Need paper. The paper that invented the architecture under every model we talk about. Google paid a reported $2.7 billion in 2024, just to bring him back from his startup. Two of the most important researchers alive, both out the door inside 48 hours.
So what does that tell you is happening inside Google?
Something, Kate, though I'd be careful. Google is still the deepest bench in the field. But the flow of elite people out of the crown jewel of AI research is a leading indicator. And the developer community noticed. One Hacker News comment nailed it. The real tell will be if Demis makes a move. Here's the bigger picture for listeners. The scarcest resource in this entire industry isn't chips or capital. It's a few hundred human beings, and they're being traded like franchise athletes. Anthropic landing a Nobel laureate famous for science AI? That's a flag planted. They intend to push past chatbots into actual scientific discovery.
Next, Marcus, Norway is doing something almost no government has done, banning AI for little kids.
A near total ban, Kate. Starting with the new school year in late August, students from 1st through 7th grade, ages 6 to 13, should, as a general rule, not use generative AI at all. 14 to 16, only cautiously and under teacher supervision. 17 and up, encouraged to use it on their own. Prime Minister Støre put it plainly. AI lets kids skip crucial steps in learning, and schools should focus on teaching children to read, write, and do mathematics.
And this isn't out of nowhere for them.
No, it fits a pattern, Kate. Facing falling test scores, Norway banned smartphones from schools in 2024. And has been handing teachers back their disciplinary authority. This was the most discussed AI story on Hacker News this week. Over 560 points. And the winning analogy in the thread was sharp. You don't hand out calculators before kids understand arithmetic. The LLM version is sneakier because skipping the work still produces something that looks finished.
That line gets at what unsettles me. A wrong calculator answer looks wrong. A chatbot essay looks done.
Exactly the worry, Kate. And what makes this notable is that it cuts directly against the industry's AI literacy from day one gospel. Here's a national government treating generative AI as something to restrict, not roll out. And the loudest support is coming from teachers themselves. There's a real unresolved question buried in here about cognitive offloading in children. What happens to a developing brain that never struggles through the hard part? Norway just turned itself into the experiment everyone else gets to watch.
Money news. Marcus, both Anthropic and OpenAI are going public.
Within a week of each other, Kate. Anthropic filed confidentially for an IPO around June 1st. OpenAI followed on June 8th. And here's the eye-popping number. Anthropic recently closed around at a reported $965 billion valuation. That now eclipses OpenAI. Think about that reversal. For years, Anthropic was framed as the smaller, safety-focused sibling. They're now the more valuable company.
So, what changes when these two go public?
Discipline changes, Kate. Right now, they're burning staggering sums on compute, while racing to lock in enterprise revenue. Going public opens up much deeper pools of capital, but it also subjects the two most scrutinized companies in tech to quarterly earnings and public disclosure for the first time. And here's the tension I love. These are firms whose leaders openly talk about existential risk, who floated pausing frontier development. Now they answer to shareholders who want growth every 90 days.
And today's lead story suddenly becomes a line item.
That's the connective tissue, Kate. The Fable shutdown is exactly the kind of regulatory risk they now have to spell out for investors. The U.S. government may switch off our flagship product on a competitor's say-so. That goes in the prospectus. Generative AI just graduated from venture moonshot to institutional asset class, with all the paperwork that implies.
Last hit, Marcus. The model logjam. 5 frontier releases in 1 quarter?
It's a wall, Kate. This quarter alone, Google's Gemini 3.5, Anthropic's Mythos line, OpenAI's GPT 5.5, XAI's long-delayed Grok 5, and out of China, DeepSeek V4, roughly a trillion-parameter model with a million-token context window. And here's the headline. The top of the leaderboard is now a near tie. DeepSeek reportedly matches Gemini at around 80.6% on SWE Bench, a real-world coding benchmark, while GPT 5.5 and Gemini trade wins everywhere else.
So nobody's running away with it.
Nobody, Kate. And that convergence is the quiet backdrop to our whole lead story. When those 100 security experts argue Mythos isn't uniquely dangerous, the existence of a model like DeepSeek V4 is their entire point. The capability is everywhere now. Though, and I'll just note it, it's interesting that the model held up to prove Western AI isn't special happens to be released as open weights out of Beijing. A frontier-class model given away for free undercuts the commercial moat of every Western lab. That's not an accident, and the benchmark parity claims deserve a raised eyebrow, not just applause.
Convenient that the proof arrives gift-wrapped.
Strategically convenient, Kate. Worth keeping in the back of your mind.
Big picture, Marcus. Tie it together.
3 of today's stories are really one story, Kate. AI has become a strategic national asset, and you can see governments treating it that way from every angle. The U.S. is switching models off. Norway is switching them out of classrooms. The labs are hoarding the few hundred people who can build them. A Nobel laureate changed jerseys this week. And all of them are sprinting to the public markets at once. Different headlines, same underlying shift.
And the through line?
Capability is no longer the bottleneck, Kate. 5 labs just tied at the frontier. The technology is converging. It's abundant. It's almost commoditized at the top. So the fight has moved. It's not who has the smartest model anymore. It's control. Who decides when a model runs, who's allowed to use it, who can hire the people, who answers to which government? The Fable shutdown and the Norway ban are the same instinct wearing different clothes. Somebody in authority deciding a powerful tool needs a hand on the switch.
So one line for listeners to carry out.
The race stopped being about intelligence and became about control, Kate. The good news is the frontier is still largely Western, still genuinely dazzling, and a Nobel laureate just bet his career on it pushing into real science. The open question, same as all week, is whether that control gets exercised with proof and process or on a Friday night phone call. Get the paperwork right, and the West keeps the lead it earned. Get it wrong, and we hand the moral high ground to exactly the people releasing free models out of Beijing.
And maybe a little humbling that the loudest restraint this week came from a Norwegian classroom.
6-year-olds and a Nobel winner, Kate. The two ends of this story on the same day. Worth sitting with.
That's your AI in 15 for today. See you tomorrow.